Welcome to the Candid Community Leadership Podcast. This is a podcast where we seek to equip you as a business owner, a community leader, an entrepreneur, or a leader wherever you might have influence. My name is Emily Russ, and I serve as the Director of Workforce and Marketing at Marion Economic Development Corporation in Marion, Iowa. Our organization, in partnership with the Marion Chamber of Commerce, recently hosted candidate forums featuring individuals seeking a seat on the Marion City Council, Linmar School Board, and Marion Independent School District. While the forums happened back-to-back throughout one evening, we've chosen to release the recordings as separate podcasts. You're about to listen to the Marion City Council and mayoral candidates, which all were uncontested. Please remember to vote in the upcoming election on Tuesday, November 7th, and enjoy listening to these individuals as they share the direction the city of Marion is headed.
Honor of serving as tonight's moderator. First of all, I want to thank our city council. These folks give a ton of time to our community. They attend two regular meetings a month. They attend a work session prior. They do office hours. They are one of the most accessible councils that I have had the pleasure of working with. And so once again, when we talked about, because all of them are uncontested, I said, should we just do an open house? And they really wanted the opportunity to get up and answer some questions about what's going on in Marion. So my thanks to them. The city council is made up of seven members. Three of the members, including the mayor, are known as city council members at large. They are elected by all Marion voters. The other four council members are nominated and elected only by the voters in their respective wards. City council members are elected to serve four-year terms. On election day this year, voters will be electing five candidates. One at-large seat is open for election, and three ward positions, including wards one, two, and three. I'm sorry, I think it's maybe two, plus the mayor. Ward one covers the southwest portion of Marion. Ward two primarily encompasses the north-central section of Marion. Ward 3 is primarily the southeast portion of the community. Voters can identify the ward they live in by visiting the City of Marion's website, which is cityofmarion.org. This year, all seats are uncontested. Candidates running for re-election include Mayor Nicholas Abouwassily, At-Large Steve Jensen, Ward 1, Gage Miskimen, Ward 2, Grant Harper, and Ward 3, Will Brandt. Our city council is the community team that determines all municipal policies, sets the strategic plan, approves the city budget, adopts ordinances, and appoints a city manager who is the chief administrator for the city. Because all seats are uncontested, the candidates will be answering questions about some of the major topics, projects, and strategies that the Marion City Council and city staff have been working on. So without further delay, let's get started by asking each of you to introduce yourself to the audience, share your background, and tell us why you think that Marion is the best place to raise a family and grow a business. Mayor, if we can start with you down at the end.
Hello, thank you for being here. I'm Nick Abouwassily. I'm in my eighth year as mayor. Prior to becoming mayor, I served for a couple years on city council. And prior to that, I was involved for more than a decade in just about anything that I could get involved in with Marion. I grew up here. My family immigrated to Marion in 1975 and grew up in Marion and always felt that Marion had a lot of potential and was just a really special place. After graduating from law school, I worked in Texas for a little while, and I came back because I wanted to be in a place where one person could really make a difference and could impact the future of a community. And I'm really grateful to have been given the opportunities that I have to be involved. The reason and I'm raising my kids here, my wife and I have three kids, and we've raised them in Marion, and my wife is from Cedar Rapids, but I made a Marionite out of her. She loves Marion and has really enjoyed being in the community for the last 26 years. The reason why I think Marion is the best place to raise a family and grow a business is there's just something really special about it. And it, I think it comes down to people and community. Even as Marion is growing, we still have that great community feel. People still care about each other. Neighbors care about each other. And what's really happened in the last 5, 6, 10 years is people are really who live here. A lot of them aren't from Marion. They weren't born here. They didn't grow up here, but they've moved here because they liked it. And what always sort of bothered me was a lot of them lived in Marion, slept here, but did things elsewhere. And we've seen that change in the last. In the last few years, as people are really developing an emotional connection to Marion. They love their Marion address. They love where they live, and they're helping to drive the city's growth and progress. And we have been held up as an example across the state of a community that really works together. And I really feel like it's a community-wide effort to move Marion forward. And everyone does their part. People are come forward and offer their ideas, and they offer their energy and their talent. Our city works very well with the community partners at the Chamber and the Economic Development Company to just do what's best for Marion. And I'm so proud of this City Council, which I think just makes all the difference, to have decision makers who are not self-interested, but are interested in the greater good of the community and seeing the community prosper. That's really their agenda. And everyone serves a specific role on the council, but everyone does such a great job. And they're fact-based decision makers. They don't decide based on what they like or don't like, but what's good for the city. And they use data and studies and facts to make really well-founded decisions. And I think that's driving a lot of the great progress we have. And just how well we all work together. So I'll pass
Thank
it
you.
Along
yep.
to...
Pass it on to Will.
I have to follow you? Okay, great. Will Brandt. I'm born and raised here in Marion. I'm a real estate agent. I have 3 daughters. 2 of them have graduated from Marion Independent, and 1 that is currently in 8th grade at Marion Independent at Vernon. I've been on the city council for 8 years now, so 2 terms, so running for my 3rd term. The mayor really hit it on the head with everything that he said about our city, but one thing that I've told people in the past that I think is, who knows if anyone else feels this, but just the feeling while I'm in Marion. So there's times you drive out of the city and then you drive back into the city, and it just feels so much better to be in Marion than anywhere else. Just a feeling that I get. So it's one of the things what I love about Marion.
Awesome.
Well, usually I'm inclined to say, yeah, what they said. My wife and I moved to Marion in 1979, and both of our boys are graduates of Linmar High School, went K through 12 here. And in fact, sitting up on the stage this evening kind of brings back some fond memories, because I was a high school science teacher here at the high school from 1979 through 1985. Our families, both of our families, would periodically ask, do you want to move back home? And home was suburban Minneapolis and South Minneapolis. And the thing that was attractive about Marion, it was small town feel, close associations, local businesses, and we felt that the fabric of the community was the very best place to raise our family. So we stayed. My professional background, as I said, I was a high school science teacher here at Linmar. I then went to work in 1985 for, at the time it was Iowa Electric, in the nuclear power division. I was in the nuclear power division for about 7 years, and then I moved into field operations, gas, electric, and steam utilities downtown, and I worked primarily with the large industrial customers. In parallel, my wife was pursuing a nursing career at St. Luke's through several different areas, which at the time she started off in cardiac telemetry, and then ultimately went into the operating room environment. The other gratifying thing that I think is important about Marion is just fundamentally its growth profile and the forward look that the community has had. And I would have to credit certainly the mayor's energy and Medco's energy over the last decade plus to help propel the city in the right direction without losing that small community feel that is at its base fabric. So enough out of me.
So my name is Steve Jensen. I have lived in Marion since 1962. I am a 72 Marion grad. My career only has three steps in it: 5 years as a CPA, 30 years as a CFO, CEO at Freund Vector Corporation, and then 4 years as a commercial lender. When I retired, I was looking at the City Council as a way to get back in serving the community. I did that for a number of years, being involved with the Marion Chamber of Commerce and Medco, but my memories of Marion really goes back to when I was a kid and you had those great days where you could ride your bike from one side of town to the other. You could be gone all day and nobody worried about you. So that time frame still sticks with me. So I always look at what can I do, what can I help out to make Marion a better place to raise a family.
Hi, can you guys hear me okay? More? Is this better? There mm-hmm. We go. Get the hang of it. Hi, my name is Gage Miskimmon. I've been representing Ward 1 since I was appointed back in April. I'm a 2015 Marion High School grad, currently I work for Four Oaks, which is the largest children and family nonprofit in the state. I do community engagement work there. But my background before that was in journalism. I graduated from the University of Iowa and worked for the Des Moines Register for a little while, covering the Iowa caucuses and about a half dozen city councils and school boards in the Des Moines suburbs. Then I moved to Washington, Iowa, and became editor of the paper down there in the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic. And then I came to back home for a great opportunity at the Gazette, covering the Marion City Council and Linn County Supervisors. So when I got appointed, I joked that, you know, for about 2.5 years, I was reading all the packets, showing up to all the meetings, and it felt like I was on the city council internship. So all I was missing was the vote, and I was ready for the full-time job. So it's been a really great experience so far. And why I got involved and came back to Marion was, right now you're seeing like a great energy in Marion for people of all ages, including young professionals like myself. And that's kind of my favorite part right now. And this energy is comes from of years of careful and strategic planning from a great calculated city staff, a thoughtful council, great partners like Medco and the Chamber, but also just the energy comes from all the residents that want to see a better Marion each day and live up to that potential that a lot of other communities don't have. They're either losing population or they're plateauing in projects and development. And it feels like every year there's always just more energy to be chased and that potential to be had in a thoughtful way that I think can make Marion a leader really in the state of Iowa in a lot of ways. So just happy to be here and thank you all for showing up.
Great, thank you. Okay, now that we have introductions out of the way, let's move on to some questions. Mayor Nick, I think we're gonna start with you again. So what is your vision for future development and redevelopment? And can you address how a potential moratorium impacts development in Marion?
Okay, so when I first ran for mayor 8 years ago, you know, it was very much a kind of a, there was a big difference between the candidates, between don't change our city, keep it the way it is, and progress. And so I think it's pretty clear that I'm a proponent of growth, of development. I think that you have to change to keep progressing. I think without change, there's no opportunity. If we stay the same, then we don't get new opportunities. And we've shown that with the right kind of change, Marion can be an amazing place, and it's just getting better and better every day. But with that, I have always said that not all development may be the right kind of development, and not all growth is good growth. People have moved to Marion in large numbers and still are because they like how it feels, they like the community feel, they love the community and the quality of life here. So as we grow, it's important that we grow in a way that adds value, that development adds value to our quality of life and does it detract from it. That with every new project, there's some value to the community. So that's just my philosophy on growth, is that it is okay to be selective. It's okay to say no sometimes, because we have examples of communities, other communities in the region and across the state, where they grew just for the sake of growing. They developed for the sake of developing, and you can really see the impact on that. We want to grow in a way where, years from now, we can all look back and say we did it the right way, and this was very thoughtful and very well done. To that end, we can't always could have all the control over what people do with their land and with their property, as long as the project meets the guidelines and meets the requirements, meets the zoning code, meets our standards. We can't always have total control of what happens with development. Where we can have control is to have the right zoning and design guidelines and requirements in place. And so as our city is starting to grow quickly now, I mean, it seems like we have become, the spotlight is on Marion in the region, and people want to move here, people want to open businesses here, they see the opportunity here. And so we want to be sure we're prepared for that, and that with development, as we're surely going to continue to grow and develop, we want to make sure we are prepared for that, and we have the right vision in place so that we grow in the right way. And so the City Council is implementing a moratorium, a limited moratorium for 1 year on certain major corridors in our city, to give us a little time to look at, to update our comprehensive plan, which needs to be updated. And the comprehensive plan is sort of the big vision picture of what should go where and how, what certain areas of the city should include in terms of uses. And so we want to have a chance to take a look at the comprehensive plan and get that updated and be able to think about how these corridors can and should develop. And not that we're trying to limit uses, but trying to determine what is the best place for certain uses, so that everyone, or the most people in the city, appreciate the development and feel that it's adding value to their lives, because we're ultimately here to serve the people who live here. And we want to make sure that they are being served by how the city grows and develops. With that moratorium, there are only certain uses that are affected. And even with that, a project could still come through for approval within that 1 year time period if it's the right project. So there's really no prohibition on a project happening. It just might take some more steps in the process to have it approved just during that 1 year period until we update our comprehensive plan and go through this process of being more, making sure that we're being very thoughtful about how this city grows and develops. So,
okay, I was thinking of several follow-up questions as you were talking, and you answered every one of them, so thank you for that. Let's move on to a question for Councilman Jensen. I'm not going to go in any specific order, and I will say, since we're kind of informal, nobody's contested in this race, if anybody has anything to add on after somebody speaks, please feel free to do that. So Councilman Jensen, let's talk about the CIP, the Capital Improvement Plan. What is Marion's process on how the council gets involved with that, and how does this investment in our community's infrastructure impact our taxpayers?
So I think I got this one because I'm the numbers guy. So there's a lot of numbers when you talk about the CIP. First of all, again, I've been on city council for 6 years, and I have to say that the process of how we get to a final CIP has improved significantly. The CIP is put together, starts with a lot of ideas and potential projects. Those might come from places like Imagine Next. They might come from the community survey that everybody is completing right now that we do every 2 years. Other ideas may come directly from the city council. In fact, one idea or one item that is in the CIP that directly came from the city council is we wanted to add $3 million a year for street improvements. So that is something that we felt was very important and something that the citizens wanted. But then it goes, then what started 4 years ago is the city started using a scoring system. When I say the city, I should say the staff. The staff takes all of these various items, they rank them based upon a number of different criteria. Some of that criteria would include how it contributes to the health, safety, and welfare, how the project complies with local, state, and federal laws, whether the project remediates an existing or an existing project or a deficiency in a project, whether it contributes to the long-term benefit of the community. So that's kind of how we get the process. That's a little bit about the process. And then we get a proposed list of what is in the CIP, and then we continue to review those details. But let me talk about what some of the items are in the CIP. So the CIP I'm going to refer to is the one that was in last year's budget. It covered the years, fiscal years 22 through 28. It included $217 million, by far the largest since I've been on city council. So what are some of the large items that are included in that $217 million over those 7 years? There's $80 million of roads, $40 million for a new public safety building. We had $18 million for the library. We have $20 million for some very sexy sanitary sewer, $8 million for trails, and $10 million to replace all of our fleet equipment used for snow removal and waste management. So streets, by far, you could tell, is the number one item in there. It constitutes the largest number, something we've concentrated very hard on as we hear from our citizens. So three of the largest projects that are in that $80 million, one is 7th Avenue from 8th Street to 22nd Street, that's $20 million. Elbernett Road will be $13 million. Tower Terrace is $12 million. So those are some of the, that's what's in, those are the main items that are in that $217 million. So how do we fund all of that? Well, that's another key item that goes into the decision making on whether an item stays in the CIP. It needs to have a funding source. We are not going to put all of that burden on the taxpayers because the levy rate would be way too high. So here are some different buckets that fund that $217 million. The first one is money coming from the proprietary funds. That would be road use, sewer, and solid waste. So out of that $217 million, $60 million comes out of those three proprietary funds. Next is the lost money, the local option sales tax. So this comes in at $6.5 million a year. So you can see that's a total of $45 million. But here's another interesting thing to think about how valuable lost is to our budget. If you take that $217 million and you take the public services building out and you take the library out, which are kind of one-time things done every 40 years, you're left with $169 million. You divide that by 7 years, that's 20 $24 million a year. So the lost, the local option sales tax is funding 25% of all of our capital projects that the city does. So it's extremely important. And then we have grants. Those come from various sources. That's $29 million. A perfect example of that is $5 million came from Representative Ashley Hinson's office for Albernette Road. That project was not in the CIP until we got that $5 million grant from Ashley's office. And then we have general obligation bonds. That's a total of $48 million. That does go back onto the taxpayers, and that is issued in the form of bonds that usually with 20-year maturities. Obviously, as interest rates are going up, that's going to make things a little more expensive. But where you pay for that in your tax bill is through the debt service levy. So I went back and looked at the last 20 years and said, all right, what's been happening to our debt service levy over those 20 years? Actually, back in fiscal year 15, which that debt service was at $2.27. Today, the debt service for our fiscal year 24 is $2.29. So I hope you can see from that that over the years, the city has been able to manage and handle these projects through funding in a number of different ways without creating a hardship on the taxpayers. One other thing I want to talk about very briefly, and that is when we talk about our tax base as a city, this is not related to the CIP, but one thing I think it's important to cover at a very high level is that the city of Marion is very reliant upon residential growth, far more than our neighboring cities in Hiawatha and Cedar Rapids. We do not have an interstate running through the center of our town. So we are probably, our tax base is probably 75% residential, 25% commercial. Our cities next to us are probably running 50-50. But let me throw these numbers out to you just so you understand. So the value of our residential tax base as of the end of last year was $2,928,000,000. That's the residential tax base. The tax base for the commercial and industrial area is $386 million. So over the last 20 years, the residential tax base has increased 160%, while the commercial industrial tax base has increased 58%. So just wanted to make sure those numbers are, I think they're important that people understand where our tax base is as a city.
Thank you.
You're saying that Mark Seckman and I at Medco have our work cut out for us.
Well, I didn't. It's increased 58%. People think there's nothing has been happening on the commercial industrial area, but a lot has. It takes a lot of growth in the commercial industrial area. So again, if you can get an interstate going through town, that'll help a lot.
Right on. That's why we ask the CPA that question about the CIP. Good job. Will Brandt, let's move on to you. Let's talk about quality of life. Placemaking and quality of life projects have added vibrancy to the Marion community. Can you talk about how our City Council prioritizes quality of life projects, and are there any new or exciting projects coming down the pipeline?
I would definitely say that, the City Council does prioritize these items, and when you bring these up, it really talks about the amenities that we have in our city, which is what I think a lot of our residents are looking for, and not only the residents that are here, but also residents that are looking to move here. So talking about the growth that Nick was talking about. I think it's definitely a priority. I think we've done a lot over the last several years as far as new projects that have happened with a lot of new trails, the new Indian Creek Trail, the expansion of the CMAR Trail that's under construction. Well, I guess we'll get into things that are happening. So the expansion of the CMAR Trail, so that's the one that's going to go from Menards under Highway 100 and through the field and connect into the Cedar Rapids trail system. We have a lot of potentially a new aquatic center, which would be a huge amenity for our city. We have the Indian Creek Master Plan, which came out of ImagineNext, which was talked about by Steve, and that's to utilize the Indian Creek. We have a resource, a natural resource that's rolling through our city that is not used at all. So this master plan works or is looking into ways to utilize it for recreation. There's 9 different spots along the creek that have been called out in this master plan for recreation activities. There's spots, just some spots are just for, let's say, putting a kayak into the creek or getting into wade in the creek. And yes, I'm saying creek and not creek. Sorry. there's a spot at Thomas Park for some potential a whitewater course. So you could put your kayak in and do some whitewater course and then get out and kind of have a little loop right there. A fishing pond at Donnelly Park. And then some of the other spots would just have some natural trails for just getting along the creek and enjoying nature. Kind of like the trail system itself that we have, but then also being right along the creek and sitting along the creek. So, and I'm talking a lot about the Creekside or the master plan because I chair the Creekside Pride Committee that's looking into this. So, but there's, amenities are huge for the growth of our city to not only keep our residents here, but also attract new ones.
Yeah, for
sure. So Will did a great job of talking about amenities, and we've become known across the state as a community that has really made great progress with amenities like the amphitheater and our new parks and all the amenities that we're all familiar with. We invested in the YMCA to make sure that the community has a rec center. But what I wanted to add was quality of life involves, it's a whole package of things, including amenities, but also the services that people get from the city. We've really become customer service oriented over the last few years, and I'm just really proud of that. Our city staff is very responsive and are very problem-solving oriented, and so that also affects quality of life. We are interested in attracting all types of living units, options for people, for places to live, for people, whether it's rental or single-family housing, and all levels and all types, so that to make sure that as many people as possible can have an opportunity to live in Marion and afford to live in Marion. So those also are part of a quality of life. Of course, our school systems and play into that too. So it's really an entire package, and we've been concerned a lot more about aesthetics and the curb appeal of the community, which also matters. It matters a lot for people who live here and people who visit here. It says a lot about who we are. So I think that all of those things work together to create a great quality of life.
Great. Okay. Councilman Miskimin, you mentioned earlier you are our youngest council person. So just and by age and by time of service. So
yeah.
This next question is for you. Marion's population continues to grow. How is our city council addressing growth?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, of course, as I mentioned earlier, Marion's situation with population growth is, first of all, just a great thing because a lot of towns in Iowa are not experiencing that. But with that, of course, comes challenges too. When I was still at the Gazette, Marion had completed its housing study. And not to get into all the details there, but spoiler alert, Marion needs all types of housing. Whether it's market rate, affordable housing, apartments, townhomes, different subdivisions around. But for me, I think about housing a lot. Four Oaks also has the Affordable Housing Network, so housing and affordable housing is one of the passions that kind of brought me to wanting to pursue city council. And I think it's one of the most important issues because when you look at the hierarchy of needs for individuals, stable and secure housing, safe housing, is at the bottom of that pyramid for people. If you don't have a comfortable and safe place to sleep at night, you can't really pursue other goals and just other needs in your life. So, you know, we have a lot of development projects around the city and more to come, as I'm sure you've seen driving around. And if you come to city council meetings, I hope you guys do, all of you that are here, come to city council meetings and engage with your community. It feels like every meeting so far I've been in has, you know, there's a new housing project on the line from developers. So there's been a lot of great work and a diverse amount of work. Like I mentioned, various apartment buildings, various new subdivisions on the edge of town. We've had great developers come in and pitch really good mixed use and diverse housing projects for people of different backgrounds, whether it's a young professional like me, still at the start of their career, or folks ready for retirement and maybe they don't want to live in a house anymore and join a senior living facility. So that's one of the challenges of population growth. One of the others that comes to mind that I think the city has done a really great job at, and I have to give credit to Chief Fagan for coming in and looking at our fire coverage area with GIS analyst and readjusting some of the plans. You know, the city was initially looking at a fourth fire station, but you know, looking at the coverage areas and where the gaps kind of actually were, it turns out it probably makes more sense to relocate a fire station, a third fire station, and go from there. So you have all these different challenges, but at the end of the day, you know, population growth is a good thing, and it's a good challenge to have compared to what other communities are kind of dealing with population loss, and especially young folks moving to other states and bigger communities. So, yeah, thank you.
Great. Okay, the next couple questions are about some important road projects, and Councilman Jensen mentioned that over $80 million of our capital improvement program is spent on roads, which it's a huge percentage of that CIP. So, Gage, since the ball's kind of still in your court, let's start with you. What does the future of Tower Terrace Road look like?
Yeah, Tower Terrace has been a big one over the last few years, and one that I covered pretty extensively in my time as a journalist. It's actually how I got to know current Deputy City Manager Kim Downs when she was city manager over in Hiawatha, because first of all, I want to say about Tower Terrace is I think it's one of the best current examples of all of our communities working together and that regionalization on a goal, on a project. For those of you that don't know, and some of you may not, you know, the ultimate goal of Tower Terrace is to connect 380 to 13 and give alleviate some of the pressure that we see on some of those other connections like Boyson Road, County Home Road, even Blair's Ferry to an extent. Over the past few years, the community, together with the Metro Corridor Metropolitan Planning Organization, have been applying for the RAISE grant every year. You know, the federal government tells us we get really close, but at this point, you know, the latest update is that the communities are working together on some different funding streams. The RAISE grant, I think, was around $70 million. Without any federal funding, Tower Terrace will take until about the 2040s to complete. With federal funding, that really accelerates the project, so it's really important to be able to get that. Earlier this year, and I'm looking at my notes here because it's a long grant name, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which includes us, Cedar Rapids, Hiawatha, Robbins, Lynn County, applied for a $44.6 million, it's called the Multi-Model Project Discretionary Grant. Rural grant. Hopefully we'll find out more about that by the end of the year and where that's at, but I think it's really great that we're not just depending on this one RAISE grant to come through, and we're starting to look at some other streams of funding, because it's really important to get that project done, not only to make that connection between 380 and 13, but it's also going to spur that future development along Tower Terrace. You know, it goes hand in hand with what we're doing with the moratorium, this intentional, this proactive development. So that's kind of the latest update. You know, knock, I don't know if this table is wood or not, but knock on wood that we get some good news later and some funding so that we can get some projects done. The construction on Marion's portion of the segment is almost complete, however. I know paving plans have been submitted to the DOT for the winter bid, and hopefully you'll see more of that work in on the Marion portion of that project next year as well.
Awesome, thank you.
Jill?
Yes, go ahead, sorry.
So I think when we talk about Tower Terrace and as it relates to the CIP, One of the reasons we're trying to get this federal funding is there, in that stretch between Marion and Hiawatha, there are three bridges to be built. One is in Marion, two bridges are in Robbins. Robbins does not have the capacity, the deck capacity, to handle and manage two bridges. Marion can, but we're working together trying to get federal funding on those three bridges. So at this point in time, that one area where the bridge is missing on Tower Terrace and Marion is not in the CIP, because we're trying to wait for federal funding. And if we get that, then it'll pop back in there right away. But again, as Gage talked about, the biggest plus is next year we're going to get that stretch from El Burnett Road to C Avenue. And to me, that is a huge, huge thing, having that arterial at least for that stretch.
Definitely. Thank you. One of the roads that we don't hear quite as much about, but still a really important infrastructure project for Marion, is the future of El Burnett Road. So if Councilman Harper, if you could tell us a little bit about where we're at with progress on El Burnett Road.
You bet. Thank you, Jill. So El Burnett Road, the extension to the south, to have it interconnect with 8th and ultimately Marion Boulevard, has been in the planning since as far back as about 2000. And it's early on, there was a burst of activity in order to formulate how that would look, to identify the optimum pathway. And so that is now, you know, closer, much closer to fruition. But as Steve just mentioned, Tower Terrace between C Avenue and El Burnett Road, when that is completed, that is going to be a net additional traffic load that would be absorbed on the existing El Burnett Road as it then heads to the southeast and connects with Central Avenue and then right into the small roundabout that we all love there at 10th and Central Avenue. Right now, the traffic density at various times of the day is very high. And if you travel south on El Burnett Road, let's say you start up by Echo Hill Road and travel south towards town, what you will have an opportunity to notice is where it makes a slight veer to the southeast, there used to be a straight section of road there that went straight to Boyson. And if you continue on to the south, that is the corridor that is envisioned for El Burnett Road extension. So the primary objective really is to get traffic loading off of the 10th and Central area, and to give options to travelers on how they get to 8th Avenue or 7th Avenue, or I should say Marion Boulevard. The other component about, and this is really more the visionary side of this, the other component about considering El Burnett Road is in fact tied into our moratorium, our review, our validation of what's in our comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan was last published in 2010, and for the immediate area along El Burnett Road, what it identified was at Tower Terrace and El Burnett Road, it did in fact identify it right adjacent to that intersection, some neighborhood commercial. And the feeling, I believe, as I reviewed the comprehensive plan is that as Marion grows to the north, it's desirable to have commercial activity, appropriately sized commercial activity, available to those residents that live in the northern tier of the city so that they don't have to go all the way to the southern aspect of town and add to the traffic loading and burden that our current streets have to contend with. So an important part of our moratorium that the mayor mentioned is, I think, to extend and confirm what is it that we mean by neighborhood commercial, to make sure that it aligns well, it interfaces well with the development that is either there or is planned to be there. The other thing that is an important piece of the Albernette Road extension to the south is that that will then cross Indian Creek. And as Will has mentioned, there's amenities being planned in and around the creek environment or the creek corridor that are going to add to the general quality of life that we experience in Marion. So as the planning for the construction of the Albernette Road extension, that will also help to sharpen our thinking and propel perhaps some new thinking about those recreational amenities that need to be contemplated adjacent to the extension of Albernette Road. But the key feature that I just want to really impress on everybody is to optimize traffic flows north and south and take some very burdensome load off of key intersections that we currently experience.
Great, great updates on two really important transportation corridors. Mayor Nick is up next again, and as we heard Steve and Gage talk about the importance of partnerships with other communities as we build roads and things like that, we often hear a lot of our city leaders in Marion talking about valuable partnerships. So Mayor Nick, who are the city's partners throughout the region, and how are we working with those partners to drive success for Marion?
Well, I remember not too long ago, Marion was not even part of the equation of the region. We weren't really at the table very much. And now we're a really important part of the region, and we are part of what's driving the growth and the prosperity of the region. And it's been a lot of fun just being part of that and seeing Marion become an important piece of the puzzle in the region. And it really does take a lot of collaboration and working together to help the entire region prosper. And if Marion prospers, it's good for the region. If Cedar Rapids prospers, it's good for us. But there aren't visible boundaries between the communities in our metro area. So we're all kind of in this together. And Marion is really the example setter on collaboration and working together, because we do that so well. And to people looking in from the outside, they see the city, the chamber, Metco, all our community partners as really one group, all we're going in the same direction and working together. And we're trying to take that to a regional level and to take the Marion way, I call it the Marion way, to a regional level, and to really impress upon everyone in the region that this is the way to do it, that we all need to work together. We can't act like we're just individual communities, because I may live in Marion. I've worked in downtown Cedar Rapids almost my entire career. We may go out to eat in Hiawatha. When businesses want to locate here, they don't know where the boundaries are. They just look at the region to see that there are the amenities and the opportunities for people here that they would want for their workforce. When people look to locate here, again, they look at the region and they have a perception of what's available here. And so our partners, of course, are the other cities in the region, the Economic Alliance, and other regional entities like that. We invest not only in Metco and the Chamber, as a city, we invest in the Economic Alliance because they work for the region, and their focus is making sure the region thrives and they represent businesses in the region. We have a metropolitan planning organization that manages the spending of federal dollars, transportation dollars that come to this region, and Grant is now chairing that on behalf of our city. But we work very well with all the entities through that. Of course, Tower Terrace Road is another example Very recently, we announced a joint project between the communities called the Mayor's Growth Initiative. Our employers have expressed over and over again that their biggest challenge is having workforce and talent. And so we need to grow our region and population so that our businesses can continue to have the workforce they need to power the economy, to continue the prosperity of the region. And so we have a joint project that we're working on together as communities to come up with a marketing plan basically for the region. And all of the partners in the region will have a role in implementing that over the next few years. So we do work very well with other communities. We share a lot of ideas and resources and wherever we can. Of course, everyone wants their own community to thrive, but no one can do anything on their own, and we all need to work together. And Marion is just, I'm very proud of the way that we set the example for everyone else on how to work together and how to accomplish things that normally you would not be able to accomplish on your own. But when we work together, we can do amazing things. And I think everyone else is starting to pay attention and to adopt the Marion way.
Go ahead, Grant.
Yeah, Mayor, I'd like just to follow up just briefly about your comment about the Metropolitan Planning Organization. As the mayor mentioned, I'm currently chair of both the executive board and the policy board. And the way that organization works, it is a federally sanctioned or required organization that has representation not only civic leadership or municipal leadership representation, but also technical leadership in order to effectively manage the portfolio of projects that are important to the member communities, and then the allocation of federal dollars to help propel those projects in the realms of roadways, trails, and also transit. And the mayor asked me when I came on council in May of 2020, as I was appointed, he asked me pretty quickly, because I think he has enough meetings in his life, to be a representative on the Metropolitan Planning Organization. So I teamed up with Randy Sternit, and now with Kim Downs being our deputy city manager. She's also as a representative. And then principally, Mike Barkalow, our city engineer, is on the technical team that's part of the MPO. And so we have a multi-layered interface that works with the other municipalities, Cedar Rapids, Ely, Fairfax, Hiawatha, Robbins, etc. And what we do is we manage the portfolio of projects and the allocation of dollars that go to those projects. The great thing about it is there is a spirit of cooperation and appreciation for each other's projects that they've brought to the table. Tower Terrace is the big one right now. But other trail projects, whether they be here in Marion or whether they be in Cedar Rapids, are all recognized by the region as important things to do, because we're in this all together, and if one of us looks good, it helps us all to look good, and that's important for regional economic development.
Great, thank you. We have about 5 minutes left, and I have three questions that we'd love to get through. So Grant, while you have the floor, can you, and we're talking about transportation, can you quickly just touch on where we're at with the Marion Airport currently? We know we've gotten some new improvements out there. Where's the Marion Airport stand today?
Okay, so very quickly, the Marion Airport was a private airport up until June of 2015. And at that time, the airport was purchased. Part of it, the hangar facilities, still are private and are essentially run by Luxair Aviation, and the city, through a series of transactions, purchased the runway. And in hindsight, the runway being under municipal control at that time was important because the runway surface was very poor and it needed to be reworked. And subsequently, the through state aviation transportation funding, Marion was able to get an offsetting grant to improve the runway so that it is more serviceable to those that are out there. Also coupled with this was there was planning done in 2017 to substantially expand the airport. However, kind of tagging back to what Steve said, there was not necessarily a funding plan and that was interfaced in our capital improvement plan in order to do that very large scale expansion of the airport. But it was an idea, and then Medco reserved two lots that they have in the Marion Enterprise Center in order to accommodate any expansion. Well, fast forward to 2022 in the spring. The city council was asked by Medco, what are we going to do with the airport? And so that was the stimulus to put together a visioning team, the airport visioning team, to look at the business case for the airport as well as various optimization scenarios in order to optimize what's there. But it wasn't going to be that massive expansion that was originally drawn up in 2017. And so the airport visioning team completed its work here this fall and has provided the output to City Council for their consideration. So where we're at now is we are deep into very serious considerations about what the next steps with the airport need to be. It can be either wholly owned by the city or it can be returned to a private entity. And that's the soak cycle that we happen to be in right now. And that's about all I can say about it.
Okay, thank you. Again, quickly, we've got about 2 minutes left. So Councilman Jensen, earlier this year, the city of Marion installed traffic cameras. Why were the cameras installed and how are they benefiting our residents?
Okay, I'm gonna not go into the why. I'm gonna cover what is happening today. So as of today, we have traffic cam two intersections, Highway 100 and East Post Road, and Highway 13 and 151. Those cameras cover people running red lights and speeding. And then we have a mobile unit, which is a 2022 Ford Fusion. Let me just give you these statistics. We said we did it for safety. Let me read these numbers. You let me know if that's correct. In the 30-day trial period, there were a total of 2,500 tickets. Not including the mobile unit, okay? That wasn't out yet. Now, that's 2,500 tickets. Have we improved or not? The 30 days after it went live, that total is 1,220, 50%. But get this, the mobile unit has cited 394 speeding tickets. And those are all in basically neighborhoods where the speed limit is 25. And if you're issuing a speeding ticket, you're going 11 over, at least 11 over, in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. So I think we have accomplished what we looked for.
Very good. Thank you. Final question. This is for Councilman Brandt. Let's talk a little bit about the city's DEI efforts, diversity, equity, inclusion, strategic goals surrounding diversity, equity, inclusion. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, the city had a equity task force that was started, I'm going to say 2 years ago, and it came up with a mission statement that has now been put into the being used for a strategic plan for any more planning documents going forward, so that we are continuously looking at making sure that we are being diverse. And then the city staff has also had multiple rounds of training in the in this area. So I'll be really quick. My time's up.
Okay. We are out of time for the city council portion of this forum. On behalf of the Marion Economic Development Company and the Marion Chamber of Commerce, thank you for attending this portion of tonight's forum. Please remember to vote on Tuesday, November 7th. Thank you to all of our candidates, and thanks to each of you for attending. At this time, we will set up for the Lynn Mar School Board Forum that will begin promptly at 6:15.